I think about this one lady that was down here in South Dallas, and they built a strip club right across the street from her house. She didn't like all the noise and all the hollering and everything else, and so she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and nothing happened. And one day she hired a little lady to help her to clean her house, and she did, and she was talking about that strip club they put across the street and that honky-tonk and all that stuff, and she said, well, and I have prayed and prayed and prayed. And the lady said, well, let me pray with you. And so they both knelt there on the floor and prayed and asked God to take that thing away. That night, it burned down. The next day, that lady said, man, I had never seen the prayers like yours. Oh, she said, I put feet to my prayers. Amen. That may be the way we have to get this done. You know that? You pray, if nothing happens, you may have to put feet to your prayers. I mean, but it burned down. She prayed one prayer. Now she's going to make sure her prayers get answered, because she's going to burn that booger down. So she burned that strip club down. She stopped it. Faith without works is dead, right, Doc? Faith without works. You got to have works. You can do all the praying you want to. If you don't have any works to go with that faith, it ain't no good, is it, Tom? Faith without works. Somebody said, well, I never looked at faith without works like that. Well, you may have to if things keep going. Because it's very bad what's going on in this world. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You know, I love coming home in the afternoon, not have to worry about somebody trying to shoot me on the road. You know, I love being able to come into my own house and feel comfortable about going to bed at night, not have to worry about somebody running in the middle of the night. Don't you? I'd like for it to stay like that. But you know, I think about this woman that's in charge of this ministry that's invited me to Washington. She went to the last tea party, and then she was going to get on television and talk about this tea party, and somebody sent three black hooded men that looked like Muslims. I don't know who they were. But they come into her house in the middle of the night. Here's a woman in bed in her own home. They break the door down, come in. Before she can get out of bed, they've stormed her bedroom. They're in her bedroom, and they got a pistol to her head, and they pull the trigger, and they snap it a couple of times. It does not go off. They eject that shell out, put another in, stick it up, and pull it again, and it still didn't go off. And so then they beat her in the face with the butt of that gun and break her jaws all to pieces. I filled in for her on her television program 2 weeks later, and we prayed diligently that God would restore her and fix those bones. Of course, she was in surgery. We asked the Lord to fix those bones, give them men the knowledge, because she's already in there. They was going to do the surgery. And Lord, we ask you to take away all scars and make her beautiful again. And guess what? Today you look at her, and what does she look like, Kim?
Beautiful.
She's beautiful. Yeah. But see, I don't want to go through that. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. Okay. There may be a great persecution. If there is, it's just the way it is. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. Now then, if they do drag you in there, you better not deny when they say, you must deny Jesus or we're going to cut your head off. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to let them cut your head off? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be until after the fight. You know, I mean, I'm going to go down fighting, folks. I mean, you know, they may cut my head off. I may have both hands tied behind me and both feet tied, but I'm going to be a war horse. Let me tell you. He says, but before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. Verse 13 and 14. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. You think, Lord, they're in here trying to kill me, and I'm supposed to talk to them about you? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, church, we're going to have to wake up. We're in these days right now. You know this? We're in these days right now. So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what are you going to say when you get to Washington? I said, man, I don't have a clue. I'm just tuned in to God right here. I'm just his servant. I'm a vessel. I'm going up there, and whatever he puts on my heart, that's what's going to come out.
Amen.
So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you. Verse 15 and 16. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply. Who's in control?
God.
God is. You're not worried about nothing. Even those closest to you, your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and friends will betray you, and some of you will be killed. You know, some people will tell you, they're your brother, your sister, your mother, whatever. They'll say, don't you dare do those things. I'll disown you if you talk about Jesus in my house. Hey, it's okay. I'm going to be like the two boys that went to college and they had a roommate. There's three of them in one room. Two of them are fantastic Christian boys. Boy, they're talking about Jesus. How much they love him. And finally, they're talking to this other guy. Hey, Jack, praise God, you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. I don't go to church and I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Well, they talked to him 3 or 4 days. Finally, he said, that's it. I don't want, you guys cannot talk to me about Jesus no more. Never. Okay, we won't talk to you no more. But he said, we sure did talk to each other about Jesus. Now, can I talk to each other about Jesus? Me and Tom can talk about Jesus. If this boy happens to be the other roommate and he's in that room, unless he puts earmuffs on, he's going to hear about Jesus, isn't he? And see, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to be willing to live as Christians. We got to be willing to talk about Jesus. You know, some people never talk about Jesus. You won't even talk about Jesus at your workplace right now, all because somebody told you you can't talk about Jesus. And you believe that lie. It's a lie. You can talk about Jesus. It's still, America's still a free country, but it's rapidly becoming not a free country. And if you let them take away your rights now, it won't be long. You won't have any rights. I mean, I got terminated from a job I'd been on for 29 years because I did a miracle in the name of Jesus. Who would ever think you get fired for praying over a woman who got burned in a big stove and all the skin come off of her arm on that afternoon, and you prayed for her, and the next morning that woman was completely healed without a blister or a mark on her arm, and they called you into the office and said, you've got to quit praying for people in the workplace. I said, forget it. I'm going to pray for people, and I'm going to get worse. If you thought I was bad up to now, I mean, when you see God do a few of those kind of things, if you think I'm bad now, you wait. I'm going to pray about everything. Because if you don't pray, nothing happens. When you pray, what's impossible?
Nothing.
Do something for Jesus. Don't be afraid. So they said, okay, we're going to fire you. Okay, no big deal. So I was 62 years old, and they called me into the head office and over in Arlington and handed me my papers and had five reasons on there that terminated me. And all five of them was about my service to the King. I thought, well, what a way to get fired. What a way to get fired. I was just praising God. And this one older woman there, she said, Mr. Scrivener, do you know you're 62 years old? I said, yes, ma'am, I know how old I am. She said, do you know at your age you won't be able to get another job? I said, ma'am, I ain't never worked for y'all anyway. I don't never work for people. She said, what do you mean? You sure you work for us? I said, no, y'all paid my paycheck, but I didn't work for y'all. I work for Jesus Christ. I've always worked for Jesus Christ. I said, I don't know what the King's got for me. But I said, if the King wasn't ready for me to leave this place, I'd still be here. You can't put me away until he's ready for me to leave. So obviously he's ready for me to leave. So I said, praise God. I said, I'm going to leave. And then, of course, when they come over to my office to clean it out, I said, I started getting my videotapes and stuff. And they said, wait a minute. You can't take those tapes? I said, praise God, I'd be glad to leave them here. He said, isn't that the tapes on the videos of the building? I said, no, these are the teachings I've done about Jesus. Okay, you can take them then. We don't want them. I said, okay, praise God. I'd be happy to leave them with you. Oh, I'd be happy to leave them with you. I want you to listen to them. See? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I mean, I'm not afraid of nobody but Jesus. Now, I am afraid of the King. You know, I mean, he has the power to put me in hell if he wants to. You know, but I ain't going to go there. I'm going to do what the King says. Then verse 17 and 18. And everyone will hate you. Well, that's not exactly what we want, is it? You know, you take a child that goes to school, they get one or two kids that hate them, and their heart's broken because everybody don't like them. Get over it. You ain't never going to get everybody to love you. I don't care what you do. You ain't never going to find everybody that's going to love you. And the more you talk about Jesus, the more enemies you're going to make. Is that true? Yep, the more people in school, especially small children, young men and women that's going to school, the more you talk about Jesus in the schools we're in today, the more people's going to hate you. So get used to it. Remember, Jesus is your King. And everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Pretty awesome promise, isn't it? Not a hair of your head. Okay, now let's go to verse 18. I think I said to go through 18 or 18 and 19. And everyone will hate you. And verse 19. By standing firm, you will win your soul. What do you got to do? Stand firm. Stand on the word. Is that right?
That's right.
Stand on the word. No two ways about it. Stand on the word. Now let's go to Revelation 5, verses 1 through 14. Revelation 5. I want to show you some things that's coming. I've never taught through the entire book of Revelation because there's so many things in there I still don't understand. But I'm beginning to understand some of these things now. And Revelation chapter 5, and we're talking about the seals here. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now, him that's sitting on the throne. Who is sitting on the throne? God the Father. This, in this case, is God the Father. He's sitting on the throne. Now then, it says he has seven seals. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Verse 3 and 4. "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." So they ain't none of us worthy. 5 and 6. "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes." That's quite when you look at that, that's strange, isn't it? Got seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, I'll tell you, I don't understand that. I can read that and see that, but I don't understand the depth, in depth of that at all. But I know it's right because it says that, so I know that's what it means. But I don't in depth understand how all that works. But 7 and 8.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "A Great Earthquake is Coming," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.